I introduced Barbie as my wife to someone recently, and I said, "Our marriage was made in heaven." And without skipping a beat, she said, "So is thunder and lightning." Surely it is safe to say men and women are different in many ways. Now, that doesn't mean that one is right and the other is wrong. It simply means in many ways we are different. I was sent an email a while back that illustrates how we are unique. It was a debate on whether computers are male or female. Men, I give you permission to laugh today because we're going to get even as soon as we're through. This list came from computer scientists who were all male. They claim that computers are female since no one but their creator understands their internal logic. Now, ladies, you see how timid that laughter was. That computers are female since the native language they use to communicate with other computers is incomprehensible to everyone else. My favorite, because the message "bad command or file name" is about as informative as, "If you don't know why I'm upset, then I'm certainly not going to tell you." You'll get your turn. And as soon as you make a commitment to one, you find yourself spending half your paycheck on accessories for it. That's why computers female. But to be fair, this list was countered by a group of all-female computer scientists who say the computer is male because they have lots of data, but they are all still clueless. They are supposed to help you solve problems, but half the time they are the problem. And as soon as you commit to one, you realize if you'd waited a little longer, you could have had a better model. Welcome to our first-time guests. And welcome back to many of you to the second week of our Marriage and Family 101 series. We began last week looking at family renovations. All good building projects begin with a firm foundation. So last week we took a look at two of the foundational problems we need to tackle first to make sure our renovations are going to be done right. Do you remember what they were? A reverence for God and a solid standard of moral absolutes. There is a right and wrong, and for us, that standard is in the Bible. Today, we continue by looking at an absolute essential in every relationship. It doesn't matter if we're talking about the marriage relationship or the relationships within the family dynamics or your personal relationship with God. Every relationship begins with commitment. You have probably heard this statistic thrown around for years. Half of all marriages in the U.S. end in divorce. Now, while that's not entirely a lie, it is also not entirely the truth. It's what we call a half-truth. My daddy used to say, "Son, beware of half-truths, lest you get a hold of the wrong half." I try to impress on young couples during premarital counseling not to buy into that lie, as it makes it seem like their marriage is just as likely to fail as it is to succeed. You see, the truth is, to get to the 50% number, all marriages in that statement include those who have been divorced and remarried 3, 4, 5, some 6 times over. Television reflects the casualness of this all the time. I love Last Man Standing. Anybody else like that? I just love that show. But Ed Alzate has been divorced 4 times. And they weave that theme throughout the show all the time. Barbie and I both will tell you our favorite television show is NCIS. But Gibbs has been divorced 3 times. And Fernell is married to one of his ex-wives. And that runs throughout the show. See, truth is, half of all marriages in the U.S. do end in divorce. But according to research by psychologist and author of Parent Talk, Dr. Kalman Heller, 70% of first-time marriages are still successful and rising. And in some parts of the country, it's as high as 82%. Let that sink in. You couple that with the fact that many second marriages are lasting for decades, and marriage is still a very successful relationship. All you have to do is look at the Sunday paper to see how many couples are celebrating their 50th, 60th, or more anniversary. We mentioned last week Leon and Jeanette have been married for 63 years. Barbie and I are celebrating our 47 years this December. And you wouldn't believe how many people and how many other couples told me as they left last Sunday they were celebrating 50 or more years. So let's do this, okay? Bear with me. If you have been married 60 or more years, would you stand up if you can? Look at this. Look at this. Stay standing. Remain standing. Remain standing. Y'all remain standing. If you have been married 50 years or more, would you please join them? 50 years or more. Look at that. 40 years or more. Would you stand? Look at that. 30 years? 20 years or more? Now let me add to this, okay, and I'm not trying to be insensitive, I'm just trying to make a point. If your spouse has passed, but you would have been married by now more than 50 years, would you stand and join them? Okay. I mean, this is amazing. Just in this room, look at this. You can be seated. Guys, that's outstanding. It's amazing. But as amazing as that is, I'm pretty sure every one of them will tell you a big part of their longevity has been commitment. For better or worse. And I know, ladies, sometimes he's worse than you took him for, but you took him for better or worse. Through sickness and in health, in poverty or in wealth, in the good that may brighten your days, and in the bad that may darken your days. You have stayed with your commitment to be true to them and them alone. I'm equally sure there are those here this morning whose relationships didn't make it, and they will tell you that in large part it was due to a lack of commitment. So let's look at some essential commitments necessary for all relationships, not just the marriage relationship, but all relationships. Above all else is a commitment to God. Now that sounds rather vague to me. That sounds rather churchy. That sounds rather spiritual. So let's break it down. What does that look like? First and foremost, a commitment to God means that you're willing to make a commitment to Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. To admit that you're a sinner and cannot save yourself, for some people, is not an easy thing to do. But it is easier to give your life in repentance and even to surrender in Christian baptism and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior than it is to yield in obedience to Him as the Lord of your life. To love Him with all of your heart, mind, and soul and strength, day in and day out. To seek first His kingdom and His righteousness in all that you do and to give Him first place in every decision. But that is where a solid relationship of any kind begins. It begins with you, your decision to put Jesus first in your life above all else. That commitment will determine and oftentimes change many things that you do or don't do in any relationship. If Jesus is first in your life personally, it'll make some changes in your marriage, in your home, in your family, in your workplace, your friendships, in your dating, in any relationship. And then secondly, a commitment to God means a commitment to be spirit controlled. Did you catch the communion song Pam was playing today? You might remember the name of that. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. But listen, to commit to God doesn't mean to say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome at my church. It means you are welcome here in my life. You are at home in me. That means that when I go to work, you're welcome to be there with me. When I go to school, you're welcome in my school with me. Yes, when I go to church and when I go home, you're welcome here. Those around me at work will know by the life I live that I am controlled by the Holy Spirit. My boss will know it. My employees will know it. Because to work in this place, wherever it is, my teachers and my classmates will know by the life I live and the way I speak that I am spirit controlled. Because Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. And I will let you control my life. Thirdly, it means a commitment to speak to one another with love and care. To your parents, to your spouse, to your siblings, to your grandparents, and to the extended family as your family grows. To speak to one another with love and care. To your children, biological, foster, or adopted. You remember when Jesus called the little children unto Himself, and He told the others who were trying to push them away and be mean and all that, and He said, forbid them not. And when He got them there, what did He do? Did He fuss at them for being there when they shouldn't be or yell at them or scream? What did He do? He blessed them. He blessed them. Speak to one another with love and care means you will watch your language and your volume. You will watch your habits and you will watch your temper. The Scripture says for us in Ephesians 5, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. A pastor tells of a couple celebrating their golden wedding anniversary. When asked the secret of their lasting marriage, he said Sarah was the only girl he ever dated. He had grown up in an orphanage, had never witnessed how a husband was to love his wife or any other healthy family relationship. He had worked hard for everything he had. He never had time to date until Sarah swept him off his feet. He was hesitant to commit to someone, and yet Sarah somehow had managed to get him to ask her to marry him. After they had said their vows and the wedding ceremony was over, Sarah's father took the new groom aside. The young man was so grateful to finally be a part of a family. Sarah's father handed him a small gift and said, "Within this gift is all you really need to know to have a happy marriage." In the box was a gold watch. He picked it up with great care. And looking closer, he saw something etched across the face of the watch, words that he would see every time he checked the time of day, words that if he heeded, held the secret to a successful marriage, and they were, say something nice to Sarah. I wonder how many wives just wish once in a while your husband would come home and say something nice. Fourthly, it means a commitment to sacrifice willingly. A young man saw an elderly couple eating lunch at McDonald's. Kind of sounds like our community. He noticed they had only ordered one meal and an extra cup. He watched the older man carefully divide the hamburger in half, and then he counted out the fries, one for him, one for her, one for him, one for her. The husband then poured half of the soft drink into her cup and set it in front of his wife. And then the husband began to eat as his wife sat smiling and watching with her hands folded in her lap. The young man decided to ask if they would allow him to buy them a second meal so they didn't have to share just one this time. He was quite surprised when the husband said, Oh no, son. We've been married for 50 years and everything has always been and always will be shared 50-50. The young man then asked the wife if she was going to eat. She said, well, not yet. It's his turn with the teeth. I waited all sermon for that. I wrote that down and wrote a sermon around it. Willing to sacrifice willingly. Ephesians tells us, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. It tells us, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. And we'll talk a lot more about that later in this series, so you keep coming back. And it says, children, honor your father and mother in the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Kids, you may never know how many times or how much your parents have sacrificed for you. But if you ever have kids, you'll find out real quick. Fifthly, to make a commitment to God means make a commitment to serve one another unselfishly. Think of the other people in your relationship first. A husband was told by the marriage counselor to try and be more considerate of his wife. So one day he comes home from work. He's dressed up in a suit, has on some cologne, has a bouquet of flowers and a box of candy. He rings the doorbell instead of just barging in, and he's standing there as his wife opens the door. He holds out the flowers and the box of candy. She takes one look at him and begins to cry. When she can finally gather a little composure, she says, I can't believe it. Little Johnny's been throwing up all day. The dishwasher broke. Your parents are coming this weekend, and you come home drunk. Serving one another unselfishly should not be that out of the ordinary. Every once in a while, when I can find them, I'll bring home a box of snow caps. Now, I don't know if you know what those are or not. Just little chocolate dots with little white sprinkles on them. Barbie loves them. And for no reason, I'll just give them to her because she's so sweet. She'll hide them in the drawer and I'll watch where she puts them. And then we share them. But it doesn't surprise her. It pleases her. You see the difference? Serve one another unselfishly. Go where they want to go sometimes. And kids, let me sometimes be happy about going to the grandparents. Do what they want to do sometimes. I will never forget Years ago, one Saturday morning, I told Barbie, let's get in the car, we're going. She said, where are we going? We're going. Leave the driving to me. And we drove down to, what town was it? You know what I'm talking about? And we stood in a long line. Monticello. To try out for Deal or No Deal. The TV show. How many remember that? Howie Mandel. We got down to the mall there and the line was just going nuts. And Barbie said, what are we doing here? And then I told her, we're trying out for Deal or No Deal. She said, we're what? We didn't make it. But she did what I wanted to do because I wanted to do it. I've never done anything that crazy, but well, let me rephrase that. Make a commitment to God, and that commitment, see how that will just trickle down through your all your commitments. Now, with that commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, add this one. Make a commitment to God's Word and to God's family. How would you like to lower the odds of your marriage ending in divorce from 1 in 2 to only 1 in 40? How about from 1 in 2 to 1 in 400? If I told you there are two simple things you can do to make that happen, would you be interested? According to a study released by the Ohio State University, not a Christian institution, when a couple attends church together, the divorce rate goes from 1 in 2 to 1 in 40. Just goes to church. And when a couple not only attends church together, but has a devotional life together, the rate goes from 1 in 2 to 1 in 400. Find a good home church to attend together. Don't drop them off. Attend it together. If you're dating a young man or a young woman who will not attend church with you now, don't kid yourself, they won't attend with you after you're married. If your friends at school don't or won't attend church except to keep their parents happy and to keep them off their backs, understand that's just going to church. That's not a commitment to God's family. We love to travel, as you know, and many of you travel with us. And whether it's going on a cruise or taking a trip to Branson or just going out to eat, people seem to always ask us if we have fun. And we like to say, well, of course we do. We take our fun with us. And that's because we always travel with friends and family. Everything is better with friends. Especially when everyone wants to be there. And church is no different. Yes, we go to church on Sundays because it's the Lord's Day. And we go to the Lord's house to meet around the Lord's table and to sing praises and raise prayers to the Lord. But we also do it because of you, God's people. We love you. We love being with you. You're the greatest group of people I know. We love to worship with you. We love to fellowship with you. We love to serve with you. We love to learn with you. And we miss it when we don't. I'm confident that what binds our hearts so closely to one another at MCC is our commitment to the Lord, our commitment to one another, and a commitment to His Word, the Bible. I don't hesitate to invite people or their families or their friends to join us at MCC. Because I know they'll feel like family. And they'll get solid teaching and preaching from God's Word. If you don't feel that way about your church home, you need to find another church home. If you leave church every Sunday feeling like you just got beat up, you need to find another church and go join the gym. Or boxing club, or what do they call that stuff? Yeah. And by the way, we have plenty of room for more at MCC. We'd love for you to join us. So whatever relationship you are in, or whatever relationship you are seeking, if you want that relationship to be strong and growing and lasting, you have to make a commitment to it. And if you'd like to make a step toward a deeper commitment today, rather it's a deeper commitment to the Lord, to yourself, to your family, to your friends, to your church, then we have an invitation for you. And that invitation is come. All who will, come. Father God, we thank you for your commitment to us. Jesus told us from the beginning of his ministry that I came to seek and to save the lost. And you stayed committed to that even when the world turned against you. The very ones you came to save denied you. Those that you love so much cried out for somebody else. Thank you for your commitment, even though that commitment took you to the cross. Thank you for that commitment, because with that commitment, we got to see the true power of God, because He raised you from the dead. And you forgave everyone and everything that they had ever done to you. And you offered that forgiveness freely to anyone who would accept it. Unconditional. No strings attached. You gave the invitation from the beginning. Whosoever will may come. But you left that choice with us. We can deny it. We can reject it. We can refuse it. Or we can bend our knees and submit to it. To yield our lives in a commitment to you. And that commitment, Father, will change our lives and our world forever. And it will create in us a hunger to make a commitment to your word and to your family. I thank you for this family of God who loves your word and who loves you and who loves one another. Help us to just let this community and those around us understand you love them too, and so do we. But perhaps, Father, there's one here this morning that needs to make a deeper commitment. Somewhere in their lives, they need to make a commitment. Help them with whatever it is they're struggling with. And help them to know that the first step of that is surrender. A surrender and commitment to you and your will. We love you. And we love others because you loved us first. In Jesus' name, amen.